The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Gordon Brown to look ahead to the best of Friday's action. Privileged to be joined by Gordon Brown. He's pulling a funny face at me. We're going to look at two contests at Newbury today, as well as one at Lingfield, and just have a look back at the events of the last week or so. How are you, Gordon?
I'm all right. Post Cheltenham, it's always I don't know, it's not a relief when Cheltenham's over, but you always feel a bit, if you pardon the pun, flat.
Yeah, I'll agree.
It's
literally and physically, yeah, it's that kind of thing, isn't it? You're disappointed it's over, but at the same time you've got a lot to look forward to. We've got, of course, the William Hill Lincoln coming up next Saturday.
Yep.
The Grand National the week after that.
There's always another race at William Hill, isn't there?
There is.
I know there's not another Cheltenham, but there's always another race. Yeah, the Grand National, first £1 million Grand National as well. New sponsors, Crabbies.
Mm.
So the first £1 million Grand National. They, of course, the spring double, the William Hill Lincoln and the Crabbies Grand National.
Absolutely. A lot to look forward to. Looking back at Cheltenham, because I haven't spoken to you since the climax of that. What were the sort of highlights for you? I know on the racing podcast we've spoken in great length about some of the races, but in terms of you, if you had to pinpoint one race or one horse that made that meeting memorable, what would it be?
I like the two Willie Mullins novice winners. The Gold Cup was muddling because they went too quick and they finished in a heap. Not taking anything away from the winner, Lord Windermere. You know, looking back, if I had to take something out of the race, out of the meeting that stands in my mind, no Sprinter Sacra there. We won't ever remember that when we look at the history books and the record books. But it would have to be Sire de Gruges winning in the Queen Mother Champion Chase because, you know, the handicaps all sort of flow past me. It was a dramatic Cheltenham for all the falls and injuries to horses and jockeys. But Sire de Gruges, a real family affair. Gary Moore, obviously, you know, son in the saddle. Brother Ryan Moore was there as well, and the jockeys sort of forming that guard of honour when the winning jockey came out, you know. And as I say, like you find in the jumping game, this, I'm not saying Gary Moore's a small time stable, but the horse was bought by a small time owner
in comparison to other yards at Cheltenham who have so much success, the likes of Willie Mullins, Paul Nicholls,
yeah,
and Henderson.
I mean, that sort of thing doesn't happen on the flat to the same extent. So Jamie Moore, Gary Moore. I think the horse was bought as a 50th birthday present for not a lot of money, and he's had a fantastic season. Even if he hadn't won the Champions Chase, they would still have had a great season, the connections of Sire de Gruges. So yeah, for me that will be the abiding memory in terms of you know, the performance in the championship races. The Gold Cup, as I've mentioned, it was a bunch finish. Lord Windermere just getting up there. Great result for Jim Cullity, whose stable had been out of form. The Champion Hurdle again, what's going to happen? I mean, the new one, the unlucky horse in that race, we've covered all that before, hampered by that fatal fall of our corner. And I'd say the young novices coming through is probably what we're going to look at for next year. But yeah, it was a fabulous festival, and my abiding memory will be that Champion Chase success of Sire de Gruges. No, I mean, look, I think we covered it to a certain extent. I think I was on the radio. We covered it to a certain extent because when you look through the record books and the roll of honour of these races, and to a certain extent, taking the analogy to football as well, you look at the name or the team on the cup, and, you know, Wigan win the cup last year, It will never be on the sort of roll of honour that, you know, Man United or Liverpool or Chelsea were knocked out earlier on. And likewise, they've won the cup. And likewise, Rashad Agrouzi, his name is on the Queen Mother Champion Chase Trophy. In years to come, nobody will look back and say, oh, but Sprinter Sacre didn't run that year. Mm. His name's on the cup. You can't take it off. You can only beat what's put in front of you. So, Rashad Agrouzi for the Moors. And as I said, it was a great... do you know where he's going next, by the way? Is he going to Aintree or Punchestown?
Is it in today's post? Oh, yes. They were talking about Sandown.
Or the Celebration Chase meeting, is it?
I believe so. If you just give me a moment. Yeah. I think it was in today's paper. Just let me have a look.
And not only did he win the race, you know, and not only did he beat what was put in front of him, he won very conventionally. And a great ride by Jamie Moore, because there would be pressure on the boy on the big stage like that. So a great result.
Yeah, the Rashad Agrouzi team are playing it by ear, the headline. Okay. By no means certain to tackle Sandown Celebration Chase, but it would be nice to see him again. It's a horse I must confess, all season I've been looking to take on.
Yeah.
But I've got to say, I agree with you at Cheltenham. It wasn't something that I didn't want to happen because of the Moors, but it was just something that I... You know, if you're against a horse, you're against a horse.
Yeah.
And throughout the season I was, and I got that one very much wrong, because he's certainly better than I thought he was.
And I'll tell you, keep an eye also on the RSA winner, the RSA Chase winner, because all of a sudden that race is beginning to produce Gold Cup winners.
Quite a trend, that, isn't it?
So Lord Windermere is a previous winner. Bobsworth won it in the past. Mm. I think Albertus runs another horse that's won it and went on to win big races at Cheltenham. So I think all of a sudden the RSA Chase, which was thought to be a grueling contest for novices, that didn't go on from the experience, I think now keep an eye on that. And of course, O'Fallon boy, wasn't it?
Was
Rebecca Curtis. I spoke to her the other day, incidentally. She's not sure where she's going with that. Rebecca Curtis, but
nice horse.
Yeah, she did confirm that. Speaking of the Grand National, I spoke to her on the phone the other day, hosting the Grand National media day up at Aintree, and she was on the phone in a live link, and she said that T43's come out of the Cheltenham race very well.
Good.
And didn't have as hard a race as she thought, and third in last year's national, and up there for the fancied contenders for this year.
10-1 favourite at the time of recording. Did the podcast yesterday with Pimmers, and we were saying how we think that the race may have affected the horse, and maybe if we owned the horse, we wouldn't have sent it to Cheltenham.
Well, I can tell you,
purely on the national, but
I can tell you
that's good to hear, because he's a grand horse and he's got every chance.
He's more than a grand horse, he's a grand national horse.
Indeed. I like what you've done there, Goddy. Right, we'll move on to look at three contests on Friday.
Yeah.
We'll start at Newbury with a 3:45.
Yep.
A Novices Limited Handicap Chase over 3 miles. A Class 3 event with 8 runners down to go to post. Let's hope that all 8 stay in. A few informed types arriving here. If You Say So and Fabriega both have won their last two. They're both looking for the hat-trick. But quite a nice race, this.
Yeah, and as you say, the dead 8 at this stage. The key thing now is the ground's changing. It's drying up quick. A lot of these horses have been winning on heavy ground, running on heavy ground, if not winning. It is drying out, good to soft, good in places. I would suspect that it'll be nearer good than good to soft at Newbury. As you say, If You Say So comes here in great form for Tom George and Paddy Brennan. On a hat trick after wins at Donny and Leicester. Wasn't the most fluent of jumper. I saw both those races. Wasn't the most fluent the way through those races on both occasions. Creeping up the weights. Fabriega for Jamie Poulton. Another one that's on a hat trick. A winner at Newbury here over 2.6 miles. Heavy ground, remember. Southwell 2.5 miles. Heavy ground as well. Jeremiah McGrath, the £3 allowance will help. The one I like here, and I'm sure it's been kept for a spring campaign, Thanks For Coming, for Nicky Henderson. Now, Nicky Henderson has got Barry Geraghty on board, joint top weight with If You Say So. Hasn't been seen out since finishing third at Worcester in July. I saw it pull up at Aintree in June, and it won a novice chase at Toaster earlier on in the spring in May. I'm convinced this horse has been kept for a spring campaign. His best form has been on better ground. And if I had to be pinned down to one, I know with two horses on the hat trick, If You Say So and Fabriega, but I'm going to go for Thanks For Coming. A spring campaign beckons, and it starts right here at Newbury.
Okay, Thanks For Coming there in the 3:45. That does look quite a nice race. Next up, the 4:20. Handicap hurdle over the extended 2 mile trip. A Class 2 event with 6 runners going to post for this one. Likely to be pretty popular here, I'd imagine. Henderson and Geraghty once again. Volney de Tai, who hasn't done much wrong this season. Freshened up, 91 days off. Interesting to say that horse didn't go to Cheltenham. Perhaps you'd have thought possibly could have done. Instead, runs in a handicap here and has got a lot of weight to shoulder, but looks the class act, doesn't he?
Yeah, plenty of winning form in France, his native country, and since coming to Nicky Henderson. Last seen out, incidentally, and he's got top weight, as you say, and conceding upwards of £8 to his rivals here. Last seen out when finishing second to Irving at Ascot in that Grade 2 race. Prior to that, though, good, solid all-the-way victories at Newbury and Kempton. I can't see why they would change the tactics. Loves bowling along here. He's got a mark of 138 for, I think it must be his handicap debut here. Irving didn't exactly boost the form at Cheltenham, but you'd have to say that that was a below-par Irving that turned up at Cheltenham. So you've got to start with this Volney de Tai for Henderson's. Dormelo Moe for Paul Nicholls and his nephew Harry Derham, another one that's been in great form. It's got winning form in a handicap hurdle at Sandown. I thought he jumped quite well and quickened very well on that occasion. But I'll tell you what, the handicapper hasn't missed him. He's gone up by nearly a stone, £12 to be precise, Dormelo Moe. The one I like here, and again, we're talking of horses tackling different ground and coming here off light campaigns, Cuda Hurrah for Alan King and Wayne Hutchinson. Now, Alan King's horses had a miserable time round about Christmas. They had a lockdown, they shut down for 2 or 3 weeks. But he's come here in good form. He had quite a good Cheltenham, and Cuda Hurrah's only run so far was quite a good one when just beaten a neck by Jumps Road over course and distance at Newbury on heavy ground. Different ground this time. I think Alan King's the first one to admit that, you know, it's an ill wind that blows nobody any good. And as a result of that shutdown and his horses not running great, he's got a lot of fresh horses for the spring. And Cuda Hurrah is one of them. One run so far. It was a good one. It was on heavy ground. It finished second. Different ground here. He's a hold-up horse. So Volney de Tai likely to force the pace. There should be something for Cuda Hurrah to aim at. And I'm going for him to be another fresh horse that will give Alan King, hopefully, a fruitful spring.
OK, Cuda Hurrah there in the 4.20. The final race that we'll look at is the 4.10 from Lingfield Park. It is a handicap over 7 furlongs, a Class 3 event with 9 runners down to go to post. Interesting contest, this. Of course, we're getting a lot of jockeys back now from Dubai ahead of the flat season starting, the likes of Richard Hughes, and also jockeys like Oisin Murphy, who, you know, was such a big hit last year. And we'll start with Oisin's mount here, Purcell, for Andrew Balding. Consistent throughout last year, really, and I think could got a chance of going well fresh here for respected connections.
Yeah, has a chance of going well fresh, and has got proven form at this specialist trip. I always think of 7 furlongs. Oisin Murphy comes for a freshener for the first time this season. Last run was at Ascot in October, and when finishing 4th, that was a reasonable effort, actually. Wasn't beaten that far, to be honest, behind Consign. So Oisin Murphy, I was at air when he had that amazing day in William Hill Air Gold Cup Day, a 4-timer. His first ever visit to air as well, and his first ever ride, I think, was in the William Hill Air Gold Cup, which won. And then, of course, we all know the rest is history now. Very much a jockey to keep an eye on. Richard Hughes, I think he's already been in the winner's enclosure since he returned, hasn't he?
He has indeed, yeah.
Riding for father-in-law Richard Hannon on this Brown Sea Brink. I think that would be an interesting horse here. I think that is likely to go well. Always tends to be ridden handily. Another one that's got good solid form at this trip of 7 furlongs. Forceful appeal for Graham Lee. He could make history sometime throughout his career by becoming the first jockey to ride 1,000 winners over jumps and on the flat. He's on Forceful Appeal, who won readily at Lingfield last time over course and distance, and I think he'll go mighty close again. He's got to be in the mix. And Corporal Maddox, if I probably had to pick one here at a reasonable sort of price, I mention it every time I'm on, Adam Kirby, fantastic jockey in the all-weather, rarely makes mistakes, rides for Ron Harris on this Corporal Maddox, who has got winning form and just flattened out a little bit last time over Kempton, 6 furlongs. Back up to 7 here for Corporal Maddox. If I had, that was just 4 days ago, incidentally, that Kempton run. Ron Harris is a bit of an ace man, that knowing his horses well and running them quick as well. So back up at seven in a fascinating race with Husey, Graham Lee, O'Shane Murphy, Richard Hannon and Andrew Balding with runners. Corporal Maddox might just be the value bet here for Adam Kirby.
Okay, Corporal Maddox had a reasonably busy campaign, but certainly a decent yardstick in these kind of races, and he'll be the pick in the 4.10. Could you just sum up your three picks, the two at Newbury and the one at Lingfield on Friday, please, Gordon?
Yeah, Newbury 3.45, I like Thanks for Coming back for a spring campaign. Newbury 4.20, I like Kudu Hurrah for Alan King, and as I say, he's been in the doldrums, or was in the doldrums early in the winter with the virus, but his horses are flying now. And at Lingfield on the flat, the 4.10, number 7 Corporal Maddox for Adam Kirby.
Okay, lovely stuff, Gordon. Thank you very much for your time, and enjoy Friday's action.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.